noticing that. As if it proved anything with you around. I'm on to your tricks.
Did I hear you say, let's all have a drink?
Jamie is welcome after his hard morning's work, but I won't invite you. Dr. Hardy
said... hell with Dr. Hardy. Juan isn't gonna kill me. I feel all in, Papa.
Come along, then. It's before a meal, and I've always found that good whiskey, taken in moderation as an appetizer, is the best of tonics. I said in moderation. Jamie, it'd be a waste of breath mentioning moderation to you. Well, here's to health and happiness.
That's a joke.
What is?
Nothing. Here's how.
What's the matter here? There's gloom in the air you could cut with a knife. You got the drink you were after, didn't you? Why are you wearing that gloomy look on your mug?
You won't be singing a song yourself soon.
Shut up, Jack.
I thought lunch was ready. I'm hungry as a hunter. Where is your mother?
Oh, here I am. Oh, I've had to calm down, Bridget. She's in a tantrum over you being late again, and I don't blame her. If your lunch is dried out from waiting in the oven, she said, it serves you right. You can like it or leave it, for all she cared. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of pretending this is a home. You won't help me. You won't put yourself out the least bit. You don't know how to act in a home. You don't really want one. You never have wanted one. Never since the day we were married. You should have remained a bachelor and lived in second-rate hotels and entertained your friends in bar rooms. Nothing would have happened.
Mama, stop talking. Why don't we all go into lunch, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. It's inconsiderate of me to dig up the past when I know your father and Jamie must be hungry. Oh, I do hope you have an appetite, Edmund, dear. You really must eat more. Why is that glass there? Did you take a drink, Edmund? Oh, how can you be such a fool? Don't you know it's the worst thing? Oh, you're to blame, James. How could you let him? Do you want to kill him? Do you not remember my father? He wouldn't stop after he was stricken. He said doctors were fools. He thought, like you, that whiskey is a good tonic. But of course, there's no comparison at all. I don't know why.
For God's sakes. Let's see. Come on, kid. Let's put on the feet back.
Yes, you go, lads. I'll join you in a second.
Why do you look at me like that, James? Is it my hair coming down? Oh, I was so worn out from last night. I thought I'd better lie down this morning, and I drowsed off and had a nice refreshing nap. But I'm sure I fixed my hair again when I woke up. Although, as usual, I couldn't find my glasses. Please stop staring. One would think that you were accusing me. James... don't understand.
I understand. I've been a goddamn fool to believe in you.
Oh, I don't know what you mean by believing in me. All I've felt is distrust and spying and suspicion. Why are you having another drink? You never have more than one before lunch. Oh, I know what to expect. You'll be drunk tonight. Well, it won't be the first time, will it? Or the thousandth. Oh, James, please. You don't understand. I am so worried about Edmund. I'm so afraid.
I don't want to listen to your excuses, Mary.
Excuses? You mean... Oh, you can't believe that of me. You mustn't believe that of me, James. Shall we not go to lunch, dear? I don't want anything, but I know you're hungry. James, I tried so hard. Please believe me.
I suppose you did, Mary. For the love of God, why couldn't you have the strength to keep on?
I don't know what you're talking about. Have the strength to keep on what?
Never mind. It's no use now.
It's no use finding fault with Bridget. She doesn't listen. Well, I can't threaten her, or she'll threaten to leave. And she does do her best at times. It's too bad they seem to be just the times that you're sure to be late, James. Well, there's this consolation. It's difficult to tell from her cooking whether she's doing her best or her worst. Oh, never mind. Summer will soon be over. Thank goodness. The season will open again, and we can go back to second-rate hotels and trains. I hate them, too, but at least I don't expect them to be like a home. And there's no housekeeping to worry about. It's unreasonable to expect Bridget or Kathleen to act as if this was a home. They know it isn't as well as we know it. Never has been, and it never will be.
No, it never can be now, but it was once before you.
Before I what? No, no, no. Whatever you mean, it isn't true, dear. It never was a home. You've always preferred the club or a barroom, and for me, it's always been as lonely as a dirty room in a one-night stand hotel. In a real home, one is never lonely. You forget, I know from experience what a home is like. I gave up one to marry you, my father's home. I'm worried about you, Edmund. You hardly touched a thing at lunch. Now, that's no way to take care of yourself. It's all right for me not to have an appetite. I've been growing too fat. But you must eat. Mm-hmm, for my sake.
Yes, Mama.
That's a good boy.
I'll answer. McGuire said he'd call.
Oh, McGuire. Must have another piece of property on his list that no one would think of buying except your father. It doesn't matter anymore.
Hello.
But it seems to me your father could afford to keep on buying property, but never to give me a home.
Oh, how are you, Doctor? Oh. I see. Well, you'll explain all about it when you see him this afternoon. Yes, he'll be in without fail. 4 o'clock. I'll drop in myself and have a talk with you before that. I have to go uptown on business anyway. Goodbye, Doc.
That didn't sound like glad tidings.
That was Dr. Hardy. He wants you to be sure and see him at 4.
What did he say? Not that I give a damn now.
Oh, I wouldn't believe him if he swore on a stack of Bibles. You must pay attention to a word he says, Edmund.
Mary.
Oh, we all realize why you like him, James. Because he's cheap. Please don't you try and tell me I know all about Dr. Hardy. Heaven knows I ought to. After all these years, he's an ignorant fool. Oh, I hate doctors. They'll do anything to keep you coming to them. They'll sell their souls. What's worse, they'll sell yours, and you never know it until one day you find yourself in hell.
Mama, for God's sake, stop talking.
Yes, Mary, it's no time to...
Forgive me, dear. Oh, you're right. It's useless to be angry. Now, I'm going upstairs for a moment. If you'll excuse me,
I
have to fix my hair. That is, if I can find my glasses, I'll be right down.
To Mary!
Yes, dear. What is it?
Nothing.
Oh, you're welcome to come up and watch me if you're so suspicious.
As if that could do any good, you'd only postpone it, and I'm not your jailer. This isn't prison.
No, I know. You can't help thinking it's a home. I'm sorry, dear. I don't mean to be bitter. It's not your fault.
Another shot in the arm.
Cut out that kind of talk.
Yes. Hold your foul tongue on your rotten Broadway loafer's lingo. Have you no pity or decency? You ought to be kicked out in the gutter. But if I did it, you know damn well who'd weep and plead for you and complain till I let you come back.
Christ, don't I know that? No pity. I have all the pity in the world for her. I understand what a hard game to beat she's up against, which is more than you ever have. My lingo didn't mean I had no feeling. I was merely putting bluntly what we all know and have to live with now. Again. The Q cures are no damn good except for a while. The truth is there is no cure and we've been saps to hope. They never come back.
Oh, they never come back. Everything's in the bag. It's all a frame up. We're all fall guys and suckers and we can't beat the game. Christ, if I felt the way you do.
Oh, I thought you did. Your poetry isn't very cheery, nor the stuff you read and claim you admire. Your poet with the unpronounceable name, for example.
Nietzsche. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't read it.
Well, enough to know it's a lot of bunk.
Shut up, both of you! There's little choice between the philosophy you learned from Broadway loafers and the one Edmund got from his books. They're both rotten to the core. You both flouted the faith you were born and brought up in, the one true faith of the Catholic Church. And your denial has brought nothing but self-destruction.
That's the bunk, Papa.
But we don't pretend at any rate. I don't notice you've worn any holes in the knees of your pants going to Mass.
It's true, I'm a bad Catholic in the observance. God forgive me. But I believe, and you're a liar. I may not go to church, but every night and morning of my life, I get on my knees and pray.
Did you pray for Mama?
I did. I've prayed to God these many years for her. Only I wish she hadn't led me to hope this time. By God, I never will again.
Oh, that's a rotten thing to say, Papa. Well, I'll hope. She's just started. I can't have got a hold of her yet. She can still stop. I'm going to talk to her.
You can't talk to her now. She'll listen, but she won't listen.
Every day from now on, there'll be the same drifting away from us until by the end of each night.
Cut it out, Papa. I'm going to get dressed. I'll make so much noise she can't expect I've come to spy on her.
What did Doc Hardy say about the kid?
That's what you thought. He's got consumption.
Oh, God damn it.
There is no possible doubt, he said.
He'll have to go to the sanatorium.
Yes, yes, and the sooner the better, Hardy said, for him and everyone around him. He claims that in 6 months to a year, Edmund will be cured if he obeys orders. I never thought a child of mine. It doesn't come from my side of the family. There wasn't one of us that didn't have lungs as strong as an ox.
Who gives a damn about that part of it? Where does Hardy want to send him?
That's what I'm to see him about.
Well, for pity's sake, pick out a good place and not some cheap dump.
I'll send him wherever Hardy thinks best.
Well, don't give Hardy your old Over the Hills to the Poorhouse song about taxes and mortgages.
I'm no millionaire who can throw money away. Why shouldn't I tell Hardy the truth?
Because he'll think you'll want him to pick a cheap dump. And because he'll know it isn't the truth. Especially if he hears afterwards you've seen McGuire and let that flannel-mouthed gold brick merchant sting you with another piece of bum property.
Keep your nose out of my business!
This is Edmund's business! What I'm afraid of is, with your Irish bog-trotter idea that consumption is fatal, you'll figure it would be a waste of money to spend any more than you can help.
You liar.
All right, prove I'm a liar. That's what I want. That's why I brought it up.
I have every hope Edmund will be cured. And keep your dirty tongue off Ireland. You're a fine one to sneer with the map of it on your face.
Not after I wash my face. Well, I've said all I have to say. It's up to you. What do you want me to do this afternoon? Now you're going uptown. I've done all I can do on the hedge until you cut more of it. You don't want me to go ahead with your clipping, I know that.
No, you get it crooked as you get everything else.
Well, then I better go uptown with Edmund. The bad news coming on top of what's happened to Mama may hit him hard.
Yes, go with him, Jamie. Keep up his spirits if you can. If you can, without making it an excuse to get drunk. Oh.
What would I use for money? The last I heard, they were selling booze, not giving it away. I'll get dressed.
Oh, you haven't seen my glasses anywhere, have you, Jamie? Oh. You haven't seen them, have you, James?
No, Mary.
Oh, you're not much of a weather prophet, dear. See how hazy it's getting? I can hardly see across to the other shore.
Yes, I spoke too soon. We're in for another night of fog, I'm afraid.
Oh, well. tonight.
No, I don't imagine you will, Mary.
I didn't see Jamie going down to the hedge. Where did he go?
He's going with Edmund to the doctor's. He went up to change his clothes. I better do the same or I'll be late for my appointment at the club.
Don't go yet, dear. I don't want to be alone. I mean, you have plenty of time. You know, you boast you can dress in 1/10th time it takes the boys. There's something I wanted to say. What is it? I've forgotten. I'm glad Jamie's going uptown. You didn't give him any money, I hope.
I did not.
Oh, he only spent it on drink, and you know what a vile poisonous tongue he has when he's drunk. Not that I'd mind anything he has to say tonight, but he always managed to drive you into a rage. Especially if you're drunk, too, as you will be.
I won't. I never get drunk.
Oh, I'm sure you'll hold it well. You always have. It's hard for a stranger to tell, but after 35 years of marriage...
I've never missed a performance in my life. That's the proof. If I did get drunk, it is not you who should blame me. No man has ever had better reason.
Reason? What reason? You always drink too much when you go to the club, don't you? Particularly when you meet McGuire. He sees to that. Now, don't think I'm finding fault, dearie. You must do as you please. I won't mind.
I know you won't. I've got to get dressed.
No, please. Oh, wait a little while, dear, at least. And until one of the boys comes down. You will all be leaving me so soon.
It's you who are leaving us, Mary.
Would I? That's a silly thing to say, James. How could I leave? There's nowhere I could go. Who would I go to see? I have no friends.
It's your own fault. There's surely one thing you can do this afternoon that will be good for you, Mary. Take a drive in the automobile. Get away from the house. Get a little sun and fresh air. I bought the automobile for you. I had it here waiting for you when you came back from the sanatorium. I hoped it would give you pleasure and distract your mind. You used to ride in it every day, but you've hardly used it at all lately. Waste. The same old waste that will land me in the poorhouse in my old age. What good did it do you? I might as well have thrown the money out of the window.
Yes, it was a waste of money, James. You shouldn't have bought a second-hand automobile. You were swindled again, as you always are, because you insist on second-hand bargains in everything.
It's one of the best makes.
Oh, now, you mustn't be offended, dear. I wasn't offended when you gave me the automobile. I know you didn't mean to humiliate me. I knew that was the way you had to do everything. I was grateful and touched. I knew buying the car was a hard thing for you to do, and it proved how much you loved me in your way, especially when you couldn't really believe it would do me any good.
Mary. Oh. Dear Mary, for the love of God, for my sake and the boy's sake and your own, won't you stop now?
James, please. Stop what? What are you talking about? We've loved each other. We always will. Let's remember only that. And not try to understand what we cannot understand. Or help things that cannot be helped. The things life has done to us, we cannot excuse or explain.
You won't even try.
Oh, try to go for a drive this afternoon, you mean? Why, yes! If you wish me to, although it'll make me feel lonelier than if I stayed here. There is no one I can invite to drive with me. If there was a friend's house where I could drop in and laugh and gossip a while, but of course there isn't. Never has been. At the convent, I had so many friends. Girls whose families live in lovely homes. I used to visit them, and they'd visit me in my father's home. But naturally, after I married an actor, well, you know how actors were considered in those days, a lot of them gave me the cold shoulder. And then right after we were married, there was the scandal of that woman who'd been your mistress suing you. Oh, from then on, all my old friends either pitied me or cut me dead. I hated the ones who cut me much less than the pitiers.
For God's sake, don't dig up what's long forgotten. If you're that far gone in the past already, when it's only the beginning of the afternoon, what will you be tonight?
Oh, come to think of it, I do have to drive uptown. There's something I must get at the drugstore.
I leave it to you to have some of the stuff hidden in prescriptions for more. I hope you'll lay in a good stock ahead so we'll never have another night like the one you scream for it. And run out of the house in your nightdress half crazy to try and throw yourself off the dock.
I have to get tooth powder and toilet soap and cold cream. James, you mustn't remember. You mustn't humiliate me so.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Mary.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Nothing like that ever happened. You must have dreamt it.
I was so healthy before Edmund was born. Oh, but burying him was the last straw. I was so sick afterwards, and that ignorant quack of a cheap hotel doctor. All I knew was I was in pain. It was easy for him to stop the pain.
Mary, for God's sake, forget the past.
Oh, why? How can I? The past is the present, isn't it? It's the future, too. We all try to lie out of that, but life won't let us. Oh, I blame only myself. I swore after Eugene died, I would never have another baby. I was to blame for his death. If I hadn't left him with my mother to join you on the road because you wrote telling me you missed me and you were so lonely, Jamie would never have been allowed when he still had measles to go into the baby's room. I've always believed Jamie did it on purpose. He was jealous of the baby. He hated him. He'd been warned he might kill the baby. He knew. Oh, I've never been able to forgive him for that.
You're back with Eugene now. Can't you let our dead baby rest in peace?
Oh, it was my fault. I should have insisted on staying with Eugene and not let you persuade me to join you just because I loved you. Above all, I shouldn't have let you insist I have another baby to take Eugene's place because you thought it would make me forget his death. I never should have born Edmund.
Mary, be careful with your talk. If he heard you, he might think you never wanted him. He's feeling bad enough already.
It's a lie. I did want him.
He's coming downstairs. For God's sake, try and be yourself, at least until he goes. You can't do that much for him.
Well, you look spick and span. I'm on my way up to change, too.
Wait a minute, Papa. I hate to bring up disagreeable topics, but there's the matter of carfare. I'm broke.
You'll always be broke until you learn the value. But you've been learning, lad. You worked hard before you took ill. You've done splendidly. I'm proud of you. Thank you. How sharper than a serpent's tongue it is.
To have a thankless child, I know. Give me a chance, Papa. I'm knocked speechless. This isn't a dollar, it's a 10 spot.
Ah, put it in your pocket. You'll probably meet some of your friends uptown, and you can't hold your end up and be sociable with nothing in your jeans.
You meant it. Gosh, thank you, Papa. But why all of a sudden, huh? Did Doc Hardy tell you I was gonna die? No, that's a rotten crack. I was only kidding, Papa. I'm very grateful. Honest, Papa.
Yeah, well, you're welcome, lad.
I won't have it. Do you hear me, Edmund? Such morbid nonsense saying you're gonna die. It's the books you read. Nothing but sadness and death. Oh, your father shouldn't allow you to have them. And some of the poems you've written yourself are even worse. You'd think you didn't want to live. A boy of your age with everything before him. It's just a pose you get out of your books. You're not really sick at all.
Mary, hold your tongue.
James, it's absurd of Edmund to be so gloomy and make such a great to-do about nothing. Oh, never mind, dear. Listen, I'm on to you. Hey, you wanted to be petted and spoiled and made a fuss over, isn't that it? You're still such a baby. But please don't carry it too far, dear. No, don't say horrible things. I know it's foolish to take him seriously, but I can't help it. You got me so frightened. Oh.
Mother, don't.
Maybe if you asked your mother now what you said you were going... By God, look at that thing. I'll have to shake a leg.
Now, how do you feel, dear? Your head is a little hot. But that's just from going out in the sun. You know, you look ever so much better than you did this morning. Here, come and sit down. You mustn't stand on your feet so much. You must learn to husband your strengths.
Now listen,
Mama. Now, don't talk. You lean back and rest. You know, I think it'd be much better for you if you stayed home this afternoon and let me take care of you. It's such a tiring trip uptown in the dirty old trolley on a hot day like this, and I'm sure you'd be much better off here with me.
Yeah, you forget I have an appointment with Hardy. Oh. Listen, Mama.
Now, you can telephone and say you don't feel well enough. See, it's simply a waste of time and money seeing him. He'd only tell you some lie. He'd pretend he'd found something serious the matter because that's his bread and butter. The old idiot. All he knows about medicine is to look solemn, preach willpower.
Mama, please, listen. I want to ask you something. You're only just started. You can still stop. You've got the willpower. We'll all help you. I'll do anything. Won't you, Mama? Oh,
please, don't. Talk about things you don't understand.
All right. I give up. I knew it was no use.
Anyway, I don't know what you're referring to. But I do know you should be the last one. Right after I returned from the sanatorium, you began to be ill. The doctor there had warned me I must have peace at home, with nothing to upset me, and all I've done is worry about you. But that's no excuse. I'm only trying to explain. It's not an excuse. Promise me, dear. You won't believe I've made you an excuse.
Oh, what else can I believe?
Yes, I suppose you can't help suspecting that.
What do you expect?
Well, nothing. I don't blame you. How could you believe me when I can't believe myself? I've become such a liar. I never lied about anything once upon a time. Now I have to lie, especially to myself. How can you understand when I don't myself? You know, I've never understood anything about it, except that one day, long ago, I found I could no longer call my soul my own. You know, someday, dear, I will find it again. Someday when you're all well and I see you healthy and happy and successful and I don't have to feel guilty anymore. Someday when the Blessed Virgin Mary forgives me and gives me back the faith in her love and pity I used to have in my convent days, and I can pray to her again when she sees no one in the world can believe in me even for a moment anymore, then she will believe in me. And with her help, it will be so easy. I will hear myself scream with agony, and at the same time, I will laugh, because I will be so sure of myself. Of course, you can't believe that either. Now I think of it, might as well go uptown. I forgot I'm taking a drive. I have to go to the drugstore. You would hardly want to go there with me. You'd be so ashamed.
Mama, don't.
I suppose you'd divide that $10 your father gave you with Jamie. You always divide with each other, don't you? Like good sports. Well, I know what he'll do with his share. Get drunk someplace where he can be with the only kind of woman he understands or likes. Edmund, promise me you won't drink. It's dangerous. You know what Dr. Hardy told you.
Oh, I thought he was an old idiot. Anyway, by tonight, what do you care?
Edmund.
Come on, kid. Let's beat it.
Go on, Edmund. Jamie's waiting. Oh, there comes your father downstairs, too.
Come on, Edmund.
Yeah, I'm coming. Goodbye, Mama.
Goodbye. Oh, dear, if you're coming home for dinner, try not to be late. And tell your father, you know what Bridget is like.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Mama.
Goodbye. It's so lonely here. You're lying to yourself again. You wanted to get rid of him. Your contempt and disgust on pleasant company. You're glad they're gone. Mother of God, why do I feel so lonely?
It is indeed, Mum. It's like a banshee.
Well, I don't mind it tonight. Last night it drove me crazy. I lay awake worrying until I couldn't stand it no more.
Ach, bad cess to it. I was scared out of my wits riding back from town. I thought that ugly monkey Smythe would drive us into a ditch or against a tree. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. I'm glad you had me sit in the back with you, Mum. If I'd have been in front with that monkey, he can't keep his dirty hands to himself. You give him half a chance and he's pinching me on the leg or you know where, asking your pardon, Mum, but it's true.
Oh, it wasn't the fog I minded, Kathleen. I really love fog. Mm.
They say it's good for the complexion.
Well, it hides you from the world and the world from you. You feel that everything has changed. Nothing is what it seemed to be. No one can find touch you anymore.
I wouldn't care so much if Smythe was a fine, handsome man like some chauffeurs I've seen. I mean, if it was all in fun, you know, for I'm a decent girl. But for a shriveled runt like Smythe, I've told him. You must think I'm hard up that I'd notice a monkey like you. I've warned him. One day I'll give a clout that'll knock him into next week. And so I will.
It's the foghorn I hate. Oh, it won't let you alone. It keeps reminding you and warning you and calling you back. But it can't tonight. It's just an ugly sound. Doesn't remind me of anything. Oh, well, except perhaps Mr. Tyrone snores. I've always had such fun teasing him about it. He has snored ever since I can remember, especially when he's had too much to drink. And yet he's like a child. He hates to admit it. Well, I suppose I snore at times, too, and I don't like to admit it, so I have no right to make fun of him, have I?
Ah, sure. Everybody healthy snores. It's a sign of sanity, they say.
Right.
Oh, what time is it, ma'am? I ought to go back into the kitchen. The damp is in Bridget's rheumatism, and she's like a raging devil. She'll bite
no,
my
no,
head
no,
off.
No, don't go. Don't go, Kathleen. I don't want to be left alone.
Well, you won't be for long. The masters and the boys will be home soon.
Oh, I doubt if they'll come back for dinner. They have too good an excuse to remain in the barrooms where they feel at home. Well, don't worry about Bridget. I'll tell her I kept you with me and you can take a big drink of whiskey to her when you go and she won't mind then.
Oh, no, ma'am. That's the one thing that can make her cheerful. She loves her drink.
Well, have another drink if you wish, Kathleen.
Oh, I don't know if I better, ma'am. I can feel what I've had already. Well, maybe one won't harm. Here's to your good health, ma'am.
I really did have good health once, Kathy. That was long ago.
Oh, the master's sure to notice what's gone from the bottle. He has the eye of a hawk for that.
Oh, no, we'll play Jamie's trick on him. Just measure a few drinks of water and pour them in. That's it.
God save me. It'll be half water. He'll know by the taste.
Oh, no. By the time he comes home, he'll be too drunk to tell the difference. He had such a good excuse, he believes, to drown his sorrows.
Oh, well, he's a fine, handsome, kind gentleman, just the same, ma'am. Never mind his weakness.
Well, it was kind of you to keep me company this afternoon, Kathleen. I would have been lonely, driving uptown alone.
Sure, wouldn't I rather ride in a fine automobile than stay here and listen to Bridget's lies about her relations? It was like a vacation, ma'am. There was only one thing I didn't like.
What was that, Kathleen?
The way the man in the drugstore acted when I took in the prescription for you. Oh, the impudence of him.
Larry, what are you talking about? What drugstore? What prescription? Oh, yes, of course, I've forgotten. The medicine for the rheumatism in my hands. So, what did the man say? Not that it matters, as long as he filled the prescription.
Oh, it mattered to me, then. I'm not used to being treated like a thief. He gave me a long look and then he says insultingly, "Where did you get hold of this?" And I says, "It's none of your damned business. But if you must know, it's for the lady I work for, Mrs. Tyrone, who's sitting out in the automobile." Well, that shut him up quick. He gave a look at you and he said, "Oh," and then he went to get the medicine.
Yes, he knows me. You see, it's a special kind of medicine I have to take because there is, well, no other that can stop the pain. All the pain, I mean, in my hands. Poor hands. You'd never believe it, but they were once one of my good points, along with my hair and eyes, and, you know, I had a fine figure, too. They were a musician's hands. I used to love the piano. I worked so hard at my music at the convent, if you can call it work, when you do something you love. And Mother Elizabeth and my music teacher both said, "I have more talent than any student they remembered. My father paid for special lessons. He spoiled me. He would do anything I asked. He would have sent me to Europe to study after I graduated from the convent. I might have gone if I hadn't fallen in love with Mr. Tyrone. Or I might have become a nun. I had two dreams. To be a nun, that was the more beautiful one. And to become a concert pianist, that was the other. I haven't touched a piano in so many years. Couldn't play with such crippled fingers, even if I wanted to. For a time after my marriage, I tried to keep up my music, but it was hopeless. One-night stands, cheap hotels, dirty trains, bearing children, never having a home. Oh, you see, Kathleen, how ugly they are. Oh, they're so maimed and crippled. You'd think they'd been through some horrible accident. So they have, come to think of it. Well, I won't look at them. They're worse than the foghorn for reminding me. Even if they can't touch me now. They're far away. I see them, but the pain is gone.
You've taken some of the medicine. It made you act funny, ma'am. If I didn't know any better, I'd think you'd have dropped taking.
No, it kills the pain. You go back until at last you're beyond its reach. Only the past, when you were happy, is real. If you think Mr. Tyrone is handsome now, Kathleen, you should have seen him when I first met him. He had the reputation of being one of the best-looking men in the country. The girls in the convent who had seen him act or seen his photograph used to rave about him. He was a great man in our Idleland, you know. Women used to wait at the stage door just to see him come out. You can imagine how excited I was when my father wrote me he and James Tyrone had become friends. And that I was to meet him when I came home for Easter vacation. Well, I showed the letter to all the girls and how envious they were. My father took me to see him act first. It was a play about the French Revolution, and the leading part was a nobleman. Oh, I couldn't take my eyes off him. I wept when he was thrown in prison, and it was... Oh, then I was so mad at myself because I was afraid my eyes and nose would be red. My father had said we'd go backstage to his dressing room right after the play. And so we did. I was so bashful. All I could do was stammer and blush like a little fool. But he didn't seem to think I was a fool. I know he liked me the first moment we were introduced. I guess my eyes and nose couldn't have been red after all. It's really pretty then, Kathleen, and he was handsomer than my wildest dreams in his makeup and his nobleman's costume that was so becoming to him. He was different from all ordinary men, like someone from another world. You know, at the same time, he was simple and kind and unassuming, not a bit stuck up or vain. You know, I fell in love right then. So did he, told me afterwards. I forgot all about becoming a nun or a concert pianist. All I wanted was to be his wife. 36 years ago, but I can see it as clearly as if it were tonight. We've loved each other ever since. And in all those 36 years, there has never been a breath of scandal about him. I mean, you know, with any other woman. Never since he met me. That has made me very happy, Kathleen. It has made me forgive so many other things.
He's a fine gentleman and you're a lucky lady. Can I take the drink into Bridget, ma'am? Oh, it must be near dinner time and I ought to be in the kitchen helping her. If you don't get something to quiet her temper, she'll be after me with the cleaver.
Yes, go. I don't need you now.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sentimental fool. What is so wonderful about the first meeting between a silly romantic schoolgirl and a matinee idol? You were much happier before you knew he existed. In the convent, when you used to pray to the Blessed Virgin. Oh, if only I could find the faith I've lost so I could pray again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Go, you expect the Blessed Virgin to be fooled by a lying dope fiend reciting words. You can't hide from her. I must go upstairs. I haven't taken enough. Now, when you start again, you never know exactly how much you need. Oh, that must be them. Why are they coming back? They don't want to. I'd much rather be alone. I'm so glad they've come, being so horribly lonely.
Are you there, Mary?
Oh, I'm here, dear, in the living room. Oh, I've been waiting for you. Oh, I'm so happy you've come. I'd given up hope. I was afraid you wouldn't come home. It's such a dismal, foggy evening. Oh, it must be much more cheerful in the barrooms uptown, where there are people you can talk and joke with. Now, don't deny it. I know how you feel. I don't blame you a bit. I'm all the more grateful to you for coming home. I was sitting here so lonely and blue. Now, come, sit down. Now, dinner won't be ready for a minute. You're actually a little early. Well, wonders never cease. Now, here's the whiskey, dear. Shall I pour you a drink? And you, Edmund. Now, I don't want to encourage you, but one before dinner as an appetizer can't do any harm. Oh. Where's Jamie? Oh, but of course, he'll never come home so long as he has the price of a drink left. Oh, I'm afraid Jamie has been lost to us for a long time, dear. But we mustn't allow him to drag Edmund down with him as he'd like to. He's jealous because Edmund has always been the baby, just as he used to be of Eugene. Now, he'll never be content until he makes Edmund as hopelessly a failure as he is.
Stop talking,
Mary. Yes, Mary, the less you say now.
Now, who would have thought Jamie would grow up to disgrace us? You remember James. For years after he went to boarding school, we received such glowing reports. Everyone liked him. The teachers predicted a wonderful future for him if he would only learn to take life seriously. Oh, it's such a pity. Poor Jamie. It's hard to understand. No, it isn't at all. You brought him up to be a boozer. Since he first opened his eyes, he's seen you drinking. Always a bottle on the bureau in the cheap hotel rooms. And if he had a nightmare when he was little or a stomachache, your remedy was to give him a teaspoonful of whiskey to quieten him.
So I'm to blame because that lazy hulk has made a drunken loafer of himself? Is that what I came home to listen to? I might have known. When you have the poison in you, you want to blame everyone but yourself.
Papa! You told me not to pay attention.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a fool to take notice.
I'm sorry if I sounded bitter, James. I'm not. It's all so far away. But I did feel a little hurt when you wished you hadn't come home. I was so relieved and happy when you came and grateful to you. It's very dreary and sad to be here alone in the fog and night falling.
Oh, I'm glad I came, Mary.
when you act like your real self.
Oh, I was so lonesome. I kept Kathleen with me just to have someone to talk to. Do you know what I was telling her, dear? About the night my father took me to your dressing room and I first fell in love with you. Do you remember?
Can you think I'd ever forget, Mary?
Oh, no. I know you still love me, James, in spite of everything.
Yes. As God is my judge. Always and forever, Mary.
And I love you, dear, in spite of everything.